Fiber, the key to unlocking better health. I'm Hamza Aziz, the producer of the Talking with Docs podcast. You might know Talking with Docs from their popular YouTube channel. Fiber is more powerful than you think. Here's why it's the key to better health.
Fiber, what is it? Do we need it? Does it even matter? Welcome to Talking with Docs. I'm Dr. Brad Wiening.
And I'm Dr. Paul Zalzal. You might think a topic on fiber could be really boring.
It could be crappy even.
That's pushing the boundaries. Crappy because they help reduce constipation.
It certainly does.
Fiber, there's two types of fiber, okay? You've got soluble and insoluble.
Right.
Soluble fiber means just that. It will dissolve in water.
Right.
Form like a jelly-like substance.
Right.
Insoluble fiber will not.
Right.
It'll just bulk through your intestines. They call it the subway of the intestines.
The subway, okay.
Yeah,
and I think insoluble fiber is like that because of its hydrophobic nature and has less polarity of the bonds, the carbons and the hydrogens, the way they all interact. And this makes a big difference on its function in our body.
As you can imagine, if it's soluble, it can partake more in metabolic processes.
Yes.
As opposed to the actual physics of bulking through your system.
Right, you realize at this point, people who are big fans of really, really strict, aggressive keto diets or carnivore diets have left the chat because they believe that fiber is not important at all.
Right, because you're not going to get the fiber in the meats that you need, except for the chicken wing, of course, which is rich in fiber.
I think that is an inaccurate statement, and I cannot support this message.
What if you eat the bone?
No, I think you'll get other nutrients you could argue you'd get from the bone.
Don't eat the bone.
But what I would say is that those diets, often people say, oh, you know, my digestion feels better. Actually, I'm less constipated. It's because they've reduced a lot of things like dairy, processed food, other stuff. So short term, the GI tract might be more happy. But in the long term, definitely it's not going to be happy for some things that we're going to talk about right now. So what are some of the, go ahead.
I was going to say one of the reasons is your gut microbe.
Yes.
Which we should spend a minute talking about at some point in this video.
Okay, so let's start now.
Okay, so your gut has microorganisms in it.
Okay, so we have bacteria and yeast and other things that live inside of us.
You need it. It's a symbiotic relationship with us.
Okay.
We need them. They need us.
Okay.
We need them to help us digest our food.
Right, because we lack some of the enzymes, especially to break down some of these plants and fiber in our bodies to get the nutrients out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And your digestive tract is your mouth, your esophagus, your stomach, your small intestine, your large intestine, or your colon, your rectum, your anus.
Okay.
In the mouth, there's lots of bacteria.
Yes.
Then it goes down drastically.
Okay, so why? Why does it go down so far drastically?
Because once you get into your stomach,
yes.
Other than the esophagus, the next part, your stomach is very acidic.
Right.
And there's not a lot of bacteria that love to live in that acidic environment. I'm surprised that any live in there, to be honest.
Yeah, so the number of types of bacteria there is about 20 to 30, and it's about like 1,000 bacteria per milliliter, which doesn't sound like very much.
It's not a lot. I mean, 1,000 per milliliter sounds like a lot, but because they're so tiny, it's not a lot. And then as you progress, the number and types of bacteria increase.
Right, so when you consume fiber, regardless of the form, we'll talk a little bit about best sources of fiber and how to get it and timing all that stuff a little bit later. The fiber makes its way through this very acidic environment into our small colon. And as you go from the first part, the duodenum, to the jejunum, to the ileum, to the colon, not only the number of types of bacteria that are there, but also the volume goes up literally exponentially by the time you're in your colon, we're talking like 100 million bacteria per milliliter.
It's a lot of bacteria in the colon.
It sure is.
And the small intestine is rich in bacteria too, because we need them, because that's where really we're absorbing most of our nutrients from our food is as it journeys through that small intestine.
Right.
I say duodenum, but I was...
Duodenum?
Yeah, have you heard the people say...
I'm uncomfortable with that.
I like duodenum.
Yeah, duodenum.
Duodenum.
It does sound odd. It's probably British.
In any case, same different way to say it, same function, absorb nutrients, and we really need those bacteria in there to help us do that.
Right, so early on in the small intestine, we were talking a little bit before, so there's a little bit of early breakdown of fiber, but the lion's share of the work really takes place in the large colon, where there's a really diverse number of bacteria that have special enzymes that we don't have. Xylases and a couple other specific enzymes that break down some of that plant matter that we cannot break down, and a process called fermentation. So this is exactly what feeds our bacteria. So if you have a fiber devoid diet, unless you're taking very specific what are called resistant starches that can actually traverse most of your colon without being broken down, particularly green bananas, interestingly, they don't get broken down.
I don't like green bananas.
Who eats a green banana? No. But apparently it can make its way down as well as some legumes. it requires the fiber. And what happens is fiber is like a long sugar molecule, some special side chains. And what it does, it ferments it and breaks it down to short chain fatty acids, which have many really important roles. So short chain fatty acids are things like acetate, butyrate, propionate.
Cellulose.
Yeah.
Piece of wood. Chomping on a piece of wood.
Well, that's a type of fiber.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the short chain fatty acids can feed our brain, help in liver metabolism, as well as maintaining the lining of our gut. So these are really, really critical functions. If you don't have fiber, these are going to be a problem.
Yeah, they need the fiber to survive, and right. We need them to survive as well.
Exactly right.
Okay, so we've given you the skinny.
Yeah.
On fiber.
It, that's one of the things it does.
Let's talk about the health benefits. And where can you get this fiber into your body?
Okay, so sticking with the microbiome, the first thing is it helps create a healthy microbiome. And what right. that means is a healthy number of bacteria. And if you don't have a healthy number, some of the bad ones can overgrow. And this can lead to different problems, not only infections, but also abnormal metabolism and even potentially aggravate cancer. So this is probably the first thing. Number one is it really helps maintain a healthy gut microbiome.
Yeah, and so if you can imagine all these thousands of different species of bacteria, it's a balance. It's a really sure fine is. Balance, and they create an ecosystem and they competitively compete for different resources. So yep. if you kill off one type of bacteria, another type of bacteria will take over. They may not necessarily be bad in regular population.
Right.
But if that population overgrows,
right.
then you can run into problems.
Well, even like Helicobacter pylori or H. pylori is one of the few bacteria that can live in the acidic environment of our stomach. And when that overgrows, that can lead to ulcers. It's specifically right. been correlated to ulcer disease.
That's why treatment of ulcer includes chemicals that kill that bacteria.
Okay. So number two, let's talk about how does it affect like our hunger and our weight, Paul?
Okay, so when you eat fiber, you do feel more full, especially insoluble fiber. It's a bulking thing that's just going to fill your stomach.
Increase satiety.
Yet you're not going to absorb a ton of calories from it.
Right.
So you increase satiety and thereby decrease the amount of other foods that you have to eat to feel full.
Right.
So just by elimination of calories, you're reducing your weight.
100%. So the other thing too is that it slows your digestion. So this can help reduce the amount of, not the amount of energy that is necessarily absorbed, but the rate at which it's absorbed. Yeah. So particularly with sugar, so one, it's gonna help reduce your weight by getting you to eat less and feeling full. But the second thing is it reduces those high glycemic spikes from sugary foods or carbohydrates. And also, you still get all that energy, but it's a slow, steady absorption.
Right.
So good for people that have insulin sensitivity, type 2 diabetes, that kind of thing.
Yes. And are we still on the law on the benefits of
sure.
yeah, well,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, reduction in cancer, especially
right.
bowel cancer.
Yes.
A diet void of fiber increases your chances of cancer throughout your gastrointestinal tract because
right.
of the reasons we mentioned. And a lot of the byproducts of these bacteria that are fermenting the fiber or breaking down the fiber, a lot of those bacteria are healthy. The products of those bacteria are healthy for the gut wall.
Yes. So that for sure. The other thing is having a healthy microbiome reduces something called leaky gut, where the cells of our large colon, unfortunately, are able to absorb more toxins and byproducts, which increases our risk of cancer. And then the other thing is when you have a high fiber diet, it reduces what's called the transit time. So the amount of time it takes for your food to end up in the toilet, essentially. And by reducing the exposure to those toxins and increasing the speed with which it goes out of you, it reduces your risk of getting cancer. So it's like essentially like if you're in the sun for an hour versus in the sun for 8 hours, 8 hours increases your risk greater.
Subway of the intestine.
The subway of the intestine. You had said that before. Mm-hmm. We have another video that we previously talked about, the roles of Metamucil, which is a soluble form of a fiber supplement, and it reduces your LDL cholesterol primarily by?
Absorbing the bile.
Yeah, binding your bile acids.
Which helps reduce your cholesterol. But that's a good segue because we talked about, you're mentioning supplements,
yes.
right? But as always, my preference, and I'm sure your preference,
yes.
is to get the nutrients you need, not from a supplement, but from the whole food in the first place.
Right.
So let's talk about how we can get fiber into our body.
Okay.
We mentioned supplements. We have another video about supplements, but not including supplements, how do you do it?
And before we forget, leave a comment. Leave a comment on your thoughts on fiber. Even if you don't like fiber, leave a comment. If you have a specific food that you love to get your fiber, or if there is a supplement that you use, let us know what you think about fiber. So
yeah, if you're not eating enough fiber and you're on the toilet right now for an extended period of time because of that, you have time to leave a comment.
For sure. Although you probably shouldn't have your phone in the bathroom. I think that's been shown to be not good for your health.
No, unless you're watching Talking with Docs.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. So first of all, let's talk about how much fiber you need. The amount of fiber you need does go down with age because our nutrient requirements go down. But for women, they say about 30 grams. And for men, they say about 40. So in that 30 to 40 grams per day range. And there's a host of different ways that you can get it. So primarily through your food. And this is typically animal products are devoid of fiber. So these are plant-based products. So fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, grains, legumes. So what's nice about all these things is that they're whole foods, so that they're natural. They do have high fiber content. Despite what many people think, they actually still have a lot of protein. So
here we go.
So here's one example that a lot of people are gonna be surprised. So lentils.
Wait, wasn't that a Barbra Streisand movie?
No, I think that was Yentl.
Oh, right.
Not lentil.
Right.
So lentils, one cup of cooked lentils has 230 calories. So a very small amount of calories. So that's gonna be your dinner. It actually has 15 grams of fiber. So 15, you're already more than 1/3 of your way to your daily fiber requirement, or halfway there, depending on
a cup of lentils.
Okay, and wait, how much protein do you think is in one cup of lentils? And now I kind of set you up because you're gonna know that it's gonna be a good number.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna say 1/4 of your daily requirement.
Of your protein requirement?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on your size. 18 grams, which is a lot of protein.
That's a lot of protein.
A lot of protein. So on a separate note, a lot of people are like, well, yeah, guess what? Lentils are not complete proteins. This is just a little side note. We're gonna do a whole video on this, but all plants have all amino acids.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that.
No.
But lentils specifically have a lower amount of something called methionine, which is one specific amino acid. But
amino acids, the building blocks of proteins.
Right. If you combine it with rice actually has a lot of methionine, and the two of them become a totally complete protein. So something like a lentil dal, which is rice and lentils together, totally complete source of protein. There's one of your take homes for today.
Rentals.
Rice
and...
No. Yeah. Okay, so now you know how much. But all plants have it. So a cup of cooked broccoli has like 50 calories and 5 grams of protein. You know, an apple has like 3 grams of fiber. So if you eat multiple different sources throughout the day, we've always said this. So a diverse diet helps not only meet your nutritional requirements, but will also help you obtain or achieve your fiber requirements.
It's not that hard to get fiber in your diet.
I think if you eat a lot of animal products, though, it does become hard because those are calorically dense. So all of a sudden, you have your caloric intake for the day, and you really haven't gotten any fiber yet.
Yeah, I think you need
both.
100%. A combination. But a bowl of cereal in the morning. A lot of the cereals are fairly, although they have a bunch of sugar and other stuff in them.
I think that's a good point.
They definitely do have a lot of fiber.
Right, so for example, we talked before about something called all bran buds. So, and other people have commented saying, hey, all bran buds have a fair amount of sugar, and they do actually. Mm. So a quarter cup of all bran buds has, I think 13 grams of fiber, but they do have like 6 or 7 grams of sugar, just even in a very small amount. So you have to be cognizant when foods do have a combination of fiber and sugars or refined carbohydrates. It does blunt the glycemic response. So some people talk about net sugars, so that you remove the amount of fiber from the amount of sugar, and then that leaves you with a number that's called a net sugar. So that relates to glycemic index. So just be careful when you're getting it.
And this isn't new information.
No.
We've known that fiber is good for you for decades.
Yep.
In fact, you can look at a very old Saturday Night Live skit called Colon Blow Cereal with Phil Hartman.
Haven't you heard? Fiber is really good for you.
Phil Hartman. Rest it's a hilarious skit, but it's got to be, I don't know, 30, 40 years old. But even then, we knew that fiber was important.
100%. So does it matter when you take your fiber? So what we would say is probably yes. So A, if you're going to be doing some high-intensity exercise, don't do it for at least an hour before that, because you can end up with a bit of a sore stomach from the amount of fiber that you're taking if you're going to do high exercise. And also for specific medications. So it can reduce the absorption of certain vitamins as well as medications. So they say if you're doing something high fiber supplement or a high fiber diet, you should take your medications 2 hours after that. 1 hour before, 2 hours after, just because it does latch on to a bunch of different things to get them out of your body, like cholesterol, but you just don't want it to do that to your medication. Otherwise, that's not going to
be. You lose your medications. Unless you're doing a high concentration supplement, I think if you're just eating well and regularly,
it
should not affect your medications, although there are certain foods that affect certain medications. But exercising, you shouldn't be doing a bunch of, you shouldn't eat a big meal or an hour before you exercise anyways.
Yes.
Or, you know, less than an hour, you're going to get a big cramp.
Yeah, you're going to get cramps. No one wants that.
Doesn't look good on the treadmill at the gym.
holding your side.
Doubled over.
Yeah, but the take-home message is fiber is really, really critical. Regardless of what someone has said on social media, it's not negotiable. It's really, really important for multiple aspects of your metabolic health and general health. Number two, it's easy to get if you have a diverse diet of a whole bunch of different kinds of foods. We're not telling you have to only eat plants, but definitely plants need to be part of your diet. You can have part of your plate is plants.
Yeah, a good part of your plate's got to be plants. And you make this the day. Today's National Fiber Day, depending on what day you're watching this.
Is there even such a
no,
day?
No, but when you watch it, consider it Fiber Day. And now today is the day you're going to start eating a lot more fiber in your diet.
The one thing I would say is
you're going to love it.
If you're going from no fiber to 40 grams of fiber, progress slowly because your body's probably going to kind of rebel a tiny little bit.
Always know where the washroom is.
Yeah, you're going to be a little gassy. Your stools are going to loosen up and soften up a little bit. And you might be a little bit uncomfortable. So go slowly. Start 10 to 15 grams, then 20 to 25.
Yeah, ease into it. Don't do a radical change in your diet. But make this the day you start just considering how much fiber you're getting.
For all aspects of your health.
The other thing is hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before.
100%. Drastically reduces anything that reduces your straining. I actually say the last thing on that same note is actually diverticulosis. And we're working on getting one of our general surgeons in to talk about this. Diverticulosis is something that happens in our colon where little outpouchings in the lining take place because of the amount of strain. So if we can reduce the strain, people that have high fiber diets have a drastically reduced incidence of diverticulosis. That in and of itself is not a big problem, but diverticulitis, when that gets inflamed, it can lead to even surgical problems.
Common.
So yeah, very, very common, mostly because of our
North American diet.
Yeah, so another reason to take fiber.
Lots of reasons.
So many reasons. If you like this video, please like and subscribe to our channel.
Get your fiber on. Remember, you are in charge of your own health.
See you next time.